At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I'm going to clap in 5, 4.
There he goes. 3, 2, 1. And there it is.
Read ye all about it. Read ye all about it. Sunday papers coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, I'm going to go on a mini rant about my terrible trip here, but why don't we talk about Vegas first?
Well, Las Vegas, Nevada is over. If you are coming here, turn around mid-flight and go home. It's so crowded on the strip, you can't walk down the street. Nobody's good-looking anymore. They have everything on the strip. Except a salad bar. It's unbelievable, the low quality of food.
Check.
Dirtiness. It's either people, the only people that look somewhat normal are at a convention, so they're losers. If you're in Vegas on a convention, you're a loser. If you're here as a gambler, you're a loser. If you live here, you're a loser.
All right. Well, you're there for 7 nights.
Can you tell it's been 5?
Have you been there that long already?
No, I got here on Monday, and today's Friday. So yeah, it's all right.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
Well, keep in mind this. You said salad bars. The salad bars used to be the most unhealthy food, like just butter drenched, like seafood food or whatever they call it, the fake seafood. And some real seafood, depending on the buffet.
No, Matt Malloy used to come back when they had... I mean, here's the thing. When we were young, Vegas was a place that they would get you to come to. So flights were like $49. Hotel rooms were like $69. And then they had all-you-could-eat buffets that were like $10 to get you into the casino. It was all about getting you to show up to the city. Now... And I talked to a guy who's a local last night. Apparently, the casinos are hemorrhaging, like Caesars might go out of business.
I've seen this. I've seen reports of this.
Because of, people are online gambling. They've got, Indian casinos all over the country. Like, people are not coming here to gamble, so they're trying to make up the losses with entertainment. So they've got F1 here now. They've got NFL. They've got NHL. They're bringing in the Oakland A's are going to be playing here. I heard there's another sport that's coming here as well. Oh, basketball. Who's coming here to play basketball?
I don't know. People love when we talk sports, though.
Well, I'm just saying the point is they're making it entertainment-based.
Isn't the big thing they're going to try to move the Mavericks there?
Maybe that's it.
From Dallas, because the new owner wanted a casino as part of the new stadium.
Well, my whole point is it's not about taking care of you anymore. There's no concierge. There's no comping a meal. There's no making you feel like they want you here. I was playing a blackjack game, and it started off, I finally found a table that was $10 because it was a Tuesday at like 11 o'clock in the morning. And then at noon, they just jacked it up to 25 a hand. And then while I was sitting there, it went up to 40. It's fucking crazy. And the meals, just to get like a hamburger is like $26. Like at a shitty hamburger at a fast food place. Like everything is ridiculous. And
it used to be hard like to pay for a room when you were gambling because they would comp you. They want they wanted you to rave about Vegas when you went home.
Yeah. Now
I'd love if they had some comeuppance from this. Like so, they really have to pivot.
So I'm staying at this. I'm not going to say the. Actually, I have to say the resort I'm at. I'm at the MGM, which is, as these resorts go, about as good as it gets. It's a really nice hotel, and but it's so expensive. They gave me a card to go to the employee cafeteria. And, you know, because I lost like $240 on blackjack. And so I was like, I felt I was in a total shame spiral because I just don't gamble anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'm going to make it up by eating in the employee cafeteria. Dude.
I better eat a lot.
It is like, I shouldn't say because I'm staying in this hotel and I don't want to badmouth them. But let's just say I've lost some weight this week. And so
you're a little light in many ways.
I'm a little light, yeah. And but I'll tell you this. I'm working at Brad Garrett has a comedy club here that is the coolest. Like he put some money into it. Sound system, lighting, stage. It's like an intimate club. The staff is unbelievable. It's really one of those places where like, what else can we do for you? What else? They got me tickets to Cirque du Soleil for free. They got me reservations on Valentine's Day at the best restaurant in the casino. Like, you know, I mentioned I was hungry one night. The next night, they got a whole bunch of, like, protein bars and snack. Like, they're just, it's what Vegas should be for the entertainers.
Anyway. Oh, that's great.
And then, here's the thing. They told me, originally I'm booked to do 7 nights. And then they call my agent and they go, Brad Garrett's going to come in for 3 of the nights. And And so I was like, well, what does that mean? Am I going to like feature? And like, no, no, no. Brad'll MC and you'll still headline. You'll just go on at the end. I'm like, oh, great. So I follow a guy in a room where his name is on the stage. I get to go on after him. So I see him. So I watch him MC and he does just crowd work. But I'm telling you, this guy's crowd work is as good as anybody I've ever seen. It's like old school Rickles, like, really,
yeah, he can be
like,
really funny mean.
Just gets super specific with people and like keeps it pinned up to a 9 the whole fucking time. Like he's as good as like Rick Ingram or Ian Bagg, like any of those guys. So
oh nice.
Yeah. So anyways, and then he gave me a nice intro but I'm telling you, man, this Brad Garrett is something else. He is one of a kind. Like the nicest, gregarious, generous, like the waiter comes in with his whole family and friends into the green room and Brad jumps up and takes pictures with everybody, starts signing hats for people. But he's also like this 6'8" big guy. And like, you know, after the show, me and the feature act and him sat there and we started talking about like the deepest shit about our alcoholic parents and depression, like we got, I don't want to like overshare, but like it was a real conversation. And then I find out that the staff, who were unbelievable, are all the he was friends with this couple that died tragically. Whoa. And the kids, there's 5 kids, they all work at the club. He gave them all jobs. Yeah. And like another comic told me he was in town one time and his wife went into labor, so he had to fly out early. Brad cuts the guy a huge check for the baby. Like another comic was telling me about how he mentioned that he maybe wanted to go to see the Raiders this weekend. Brad texts him the next day a picture of a ticket and asked for his email address to send him the ticket that he got him.
So like, cool.
Unbelievable. And could not have been more complimentary to me, like talking to me about like maybe working on a TV project together. Like it just fucking great. Great dude.
You remember my first sort of thing that happened to me in LA, but when I was still in New York and made the transition here, I was working with Ray Romano, who you had introduced me to, and smoothed that whole thing. And then I'd be out here. And then my number one mission in LA was to get a job on Everybody Loves Raymond. And like, I just worked on that spec so much, but
I remember I was that
at,
spec.
I was
yeah.
at like the, I was at like the first five or more tapings. And then the Dave Attell was out there on the floor because Ray hired him for Punch Up. Anyway, we would wind up going out after the tapings, and I was, Ray like had me come along, and Brad was so nice. Like I did, he would never in a million years remember me, but this is season one. They were so insecure. Ray hated the name of the show, and you know, they were getting no love from CBS yet. And so they were just, you know, struggling kind of. And anyway, Brad was really, really nice.
Yeah. He's a great dude. So it'll be a fun weekend. I'm doing three more shows with him this weekend. And then Erin flies out in a few hours.
That's great.
I'm going to throw a move on her. Probably start taking Viagra while we're doing the podcast.
Well, get ready for an exciting end, people. Fantastic.
Oh, my God. So I'm gambling and I'm playing blackjack, and I use Matt Malloy's reverse progression, which means you bet 10. If you lose, you bet 20. If you lose that, you bet 40. If you lose that, you bet 80. If you lose that, you bet 160. And as soon as you win, you go back to your original bet of $10. And
oh,
so,
you know, I remember he had a progression that was, and just calm down on the corrections and all that. Progressions don't work in blackjack. We're aware of that. What it does is it, if you do hit a bit of a lucky streak, or a sort of lucky streak, it's actually the best for a sort of lucky streak. You do well. It also stems the loss. It stems the tide. Like you won't lose as fast. But I remember it being, let's say 10 is the increment, like the minimum bet. It would be 10, and if you win, anytime you lose, you go to 10. You it's the minimum bet. Anytime you lose, that's the number one rule. And then the progression, I think it only had four things, and it was 10. If you win, it's 20. So you've taken one back. You're now even. So 20's out there. You win with that. I think the third hand is where you let it all stay out there. So now it's 40, and if you win that, you pull back like two and whatever.
No, but that's a progression. This is a reverse progression where you chase your losses.
Oh, all right.
And which is fine, except you can only chase about five losses before you run out of money. But as soon as you win again, you make back your original bet. And so it's worked for me for many years, but when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So I threw down 240, and I lost it. But I realized it's like there's such a psychology to gambling. If you really want to know who you are and where you're at and how you view yourself, so every time I would lose a hand, I swear to God, I don't think I'm in a good place right now. I started thinking, of course you lost. You're a loser. Like, I really had this thought of, like, you don't win. I was like, what
oh,
the
man.
Fuck? I hadn't had that thought until I was gambling, and I was like, fuck, man.
What's that about?
I think it's just this business. I think it's getting old in this business is making me feel like I can't win because it's the odds are so stacked against you as a I don't want to be the guy like, oh, I'm an old white guy, but it really is. I mean, as you know, you've had a really good couple of years now, which I'm really happy for you, but
most
guys at our
just
age are just
year.
Not getting much work at all.
Actually, it's not. It's even less than a year since June, the Brady roast. That's it. Since then, before that, oh my God. I mean, it was before the pandemic.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's part of that. And meanwhile, rest of my life is great, but I think so. I can't wait to retire because I mean, here's the difference. If I retire, I'm retired. If I keep working, I'm working about the same amount, but I'm just not retired yet.
There you go. I remember the progression. It's one, two, three, six. So if it's 10, it's 10. If you win, it's 20.
I remember that one.
If you win, it's 30. You've taken 10 back now, right? And then you leave all, if you win, you leave all 60 out there. That's a huge hand. And what happens, though, so you'll do that. And it actually is kind of, the second hand is the most important. You got to win that second hand. And so, because the first hand, if you lose, you've just lost 10 bucks. So anyway, what happens is you're like, oh, that's really going to keep me under control. I'm not going to angry bet, right? Like that's, it has the breaks built in with you go back to 10 anytime you lose, you go back to that first one. But then you get to that six and six is out there. And then all of a sudden you're dealt an 11, you know, or eights. And all of a sudden you have to have 120 bucks out there.
You got to split, you got to double down. Yeah. Right. Right. But that actually is exactly what you want to happen. When you have a lot of money out there, because those bets are to your advantage.
Yeah. All right. So my trip down here. All right. I came down to Nashville yesterday, which is Thursday. All right. I have, as I've talked about ad nauseum, you know, I have this, Vespa thing in LA, and I have a motorcycle here. The motorcycle I leave at the airport here. So anyway, it's so great. It saves me each trip. On just one side, it saves me $100 and Uber each way to LAX. And now when you land, it's the biggest drag in LAX. You can't just get an Uber or a cab. You have to take a shuttle to this giant parking lot where they have the cabs and the Uber. So it's just such a drag. It's great. I just get there, free parking. I hop on my vehicle. So it rains, as we know, 4 days a year in LA about. I get poured on. On the way to LAX, when I left, it wasn't raining hard, and I dressed for it, by the way. So I had like a rain jacket, and then I put on like ski pants, light ski pants that were going to be good. Here's a picture of me in LAX. Hold on one sec. In LAX, that is how the water. That's how the water seeped. So what I'm showing Greg,
that's with the ski pants off.
That's with the ski pants off. Those are jeans, even though they're orange. God. They're Levi's jeans. So what it is because you're like sitting, it pulls up because it started pouring. It pulls up and it got through. There is no other way. It is a perfect pee stain on the front. It is only on my zipper and then... about 3 inches out to each thigh, about to mid thigh on each side. It is absolutely a yours. By the way, I'm walking around the airport. I don't know that's there.
Hilarious.
Then I go in the men's room. I'm like, well, that's a safe place, right? So I go in the men's room and I'm like, oh, I need the hot air. Well, the hot air things are disappearing. I don't know why. Or they're like they're in the sink. You know, now one of the faucets is a hot air thing.
You mean those things that blow the piss off your hands?
Yes, and then there's the ones that then there's the ones that you stick the Dyson, you stick your hands in.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need an old like reversed vacuum on the wall that used to blast air like a blow dryer. And it doesn't have it. So now I'm in the bathroom and I'm grabbing frantically tons of paper towels and rubbing my crotch. And just unaware that like, oh, well, people will know. But no, every man in there completely assumed it's pee. Like I had an accident. I didn't make it. Now I'm in there. It was fucking terrible. All right. So get this. So then I have a worse connection in Dallas, which I'm going to fucking talk about Dallas in a second. Then I get to Nashville. My motorcycle's here. I'm so delayed. I get here at like 9 at night. It is 25 degrees. I'm wet still. Still wet. And I had a jacket underneath the rain jacket. And of course that got wet as well. I froze I was like, at one point I'm like, I got to pull over. It's only like 14 miles. I'm like, I got to pull over in a gas station. My hands were so frozen. And I'm like, I've got to pull over. And I'm like, and I don't know if in Nashville they sell like hand warmers in a 7-Eleven or a gas station like they do in colder climates. But I'm like, literally on my motorcycle, I'm like, I know what I'll do. I'll put those mayonnaise packets in the microwave and then I'll just jam them into my glove. I swear to God. But at a certain point, there were no stores the way I was coming home. And I literally, at red lights, people would see me shaking my hands and trying to move my fingers. It was the most pathetic thing you've ever seen.
Okay. You know, I have zero sympathy for you. Because love that you have these hacks. And it's the reason why you're considered one of the best showrunners in Hollywood is because you're a problem solver. You think outside the box. You really open yourself up. So you've thought of this airport hack. You got your motorcycle on both sides. You drive from your house to the airport. You leave it. You pick up the motorcycle at the other airport. You take it to her house. Back. Great, 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 great. You don't have to do it every time. If it's raining out, you can take an Uber.
No, Hannah begged me.
On both sides of this trip.
Hannah begged me. She's like, I'm not letting you drive here. I'm like, no, I got a really warm light. And actually, my toy, you know what I didn't share with her? Little things where she might just be like, how crazy are you? So one thing I did, and when I got in Nashville, like, ooh, I almost forgot. Like, it's like, how could I forget? Like, that would be the weirdest thing. I got to fill up my thin water bottle, you know, that you buy the tin ones now, you know, the aluminum water bottles that you buy in airports. I got to fill that with hot water and put it inside my coat. And that's what I did. So my torso was fine.
Yeah.
And my legs were fine. And all that. It was just my goddamn hands. All right. So let me talk about Dallas just for one second. This goddamn airport, I'm going to go through Chicago now if I ever have to connect. Dallas-Fort Worth is a disaster airport. Okay.
It's a disaster. It's the second largest airport in the country.
Here's my connection. Keep in mind, same airline, American Airlines. And they let me book a flight that had a like 45 minute, layover, right? Here is the, just look at the bottom. Because then I put it, you know, all of a sudden on the American Airlines app, they're like, oh, your connection is at this terminal. Do you want a map? Do you want like step-by-step directions on how to get there? Look how far the gate is.
Yeah, right,
1.9 miles away. Is that in Houston? Like, what are you talking about? And then it says it's 24 minutes to get from my gate to that gate. Keep in mind,
is there a train?
The flight to Nashville is an hour 18 minutes. It's 24 minutes just to get to the gate from another American Airlines gate. Okay, this is the fun part. You ready?
Meanwhile, you got a wet dick and balls, and you're chafing at this point.
I am so chafing. All right. For everyone at home, this is the Dallas airport. I'm going to describe it, okay? It's an oval loop, okay? It's an oval loop with a train. Everyone knows the drill. One train goes one way, the other train goes the other way, right? So, you know, they make it convenient. And then off of this oval loop are five terminals, okay? This is the Dallas airport. Greg, this is where I landed, Terminal C, okay? Yeah. I want you... What is the next terminal? What is that? This one here?
D.
It is E. You know, E next to C, Greg. Right here. Okay, but hold on. Maybe I was unfair. So here I am back in C. We won't go towards E. Let's go the other direction.
Yeah.
What terminal is that one, Greg? The one, the other side of C.
It's got to be B.
Right. It's A. It's A. Can you imagine Chinese, Japanese, they don't even use our alphabet. Then they're like, okay, we got it. It's A, B, C. I know the Jackson 5 song. So A, B, C, okay. And then no, not in Texas. And this one up here is B. That B is that far away from C. And of course, right next to B is D.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourselves, DFW.
Wow, you've made a
statement
today.
It makes as much
today.
Sense as DFW. Those letters make as much sense as they're that close together.
Yeah, yeah. So did you make the flight?
Missed the connection.
No!
No, but don't worry. I walked a half hour each way.
How long until the next flight?
And then not that long. So I had to rush both ways. Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, But that's why it was also extra freezing when I landed. Like, I lost 5 degrees easy.
Did you yell at anybody?
I didn't yell at anybody. What was the closest I got? Oh, when I got there, I wasn't exactly polite to the people when they were like, it's full and, you know, your standby has been given away.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
But I was like, what is this? People who fly a lot might know what I'm talking about. In D, there's four. It's D1 through 4. D1 through 4, just like these terminals, is nowhere near D5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In fact, the next two, I don't know what you call them, gates, the next two gates had Qantas and Fiji. Those were the two planes.
Wow.
And it takes, that's why it's 2 miles. It's 2 miles, and it's now, mostly
people,
walking.
I hear people shit on LAX. I have no problems with LAX. It's very logical. It's very linear. It's one loop. You know, I find that, you know, traffic can be bad at certain rush hour times, but in general, it's not bad.
American is going through a lot of changes there, though. They had me walk, again, it was kind of like D1 through 4 in Dallas. I had to walk underground really far to a bunch of gates that all had letters, which means they're new. It was like 23A, 24, 23B, 24A.
All right, we're going a little inside baseball here. Let's move on before we lose whatever three listeners we still have left at this point.
I think we're done. I'll keep going.
What is this? Oh, true. Okay. The logo this week comes from Melody Myers, who is, I love Melody. She
amazing.
She is amazing. She does great work. And she also is, if you enjoy my Instagram videos, which very few of you are, she has been making them. When I say not enjoying them, people aren't watching them the way they should be.
There we are on Snowy Jones Street in New York.
Yep. Free Will and Bob Dylan, right? Is that the album?
Free Will and Bob Dylan album, the cover. Yeah. And I thank you very much for making me Bob.
Thanks for making
me. And you're Susie. That's how it's spelled.
The song this week is from Brian Charles Wilson. Thank you. Beautiful orchestration. Lovely. Thank you. Corrections this week. The main thing I have to lead with is a lot of people were upset that they could not download the show on Apple Podcasts the last couple of weeks. We have looked hard into this. Denman suggested a couple things. One is that you delete and then reload the app. And then also if you're on low power mode, that might be working against it. But we had a bunch of people reach out saying they had a problem. If you're one of those people, and even if you haven't reached out, let us know if you've been having trouble with this, because this is obviously a big concern to us that people can't download the show. Write into fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Let us know how you download it, if it's on a phone, on a computer, which app, and so we can try to solve this before you end up going and listening to the fucking Will Arnett podcast instead of us. He doesn't need the money.
What are we talking about?
Did you just zone out?
I'm still thinking about Dallas, man.
Welcome to the ADHD podcast, where at any given time, one of the hosts is thinking about something completely unrelated.
Including JFK. This is the biggest tragedy that ever happened in Dallas.
Well, speaking of JFK, like, that airport is that's my least favorite airport in the country, JFK. Not only the airport itself, but the commute into the city is as bad as any city in the country.
All right. Nashville is a new airport, and maybe this is the new model around the world. I hope they study each other, right? You go to the airport, you go through security. It's this giant room. And once you're through security, Greg, any airline, any flight, you can go to. So
yeah,
if you're
Atlanta
connecting,
does that also.
Oh, all the restaurants, all the bars, the everything. If you're meeting someone or you're like, oh, you flew in on American, now you're going to do a little Southwest jump to whatever. Like, it's all behind one security.
Oh, Denver. I'm thinking of Denver. Denver does that. And then, you get to the airport and all of a sudden they've got a fucking Starbucks. And it's like, I want to grab a Starbucks. Then I got to go through security. So what? I got to guzzle my hot coffee before going through security. Correction was Ryan in Chicago. I've sent this exact correction before, but you made the same mistake again. This came up while you were failing to guess what state Abraham Lincoln was born in. William Faulkner is from Mississippi, not Missouri. Please get it through your thick skull. Disappointed Ryan in Chicago.
That's perfect.
Well, the best is, you know, when you're younger and you make a mistake, you learn from it. When you get older, you just keep making the same mistake over and over again.
It doesn't stick, Ryan. It does not. You're going to be writing again, Ryan. It's only a matter of time.
And then this guy writes in, I don't know if I wrote his name down because I didn't like his tone. Greggy, 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 whatever are we going to do with you? When talking about the SNL music doc, you said they showed Beck two turntables and a microphone. That's not the name of the song. It's called Where It's At. I was actually there. I was backstage at that particular taping.
You were where it was at, yeah.
If you don't want me to sick this Church of Scientology on you, you have to let me open for you in Portland. Is he a Church of Scientology guy, Beck?
Oh, yeah, Beck is, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Was, for sure. I don't know if, as we're sitting here today, if he is.
They tend not to leave. I think they've got something on them.
I heard some story, and I shouldn't even repeat it, because no idea whether it's true. But some, I think, girl publicized, the story is that some girl publicized that she was dating Beck, and she was broken up with by two Scientology reps of his.
Well, that's a reason to join the church right there.
I mean, how great is that?
Yeah. And two of them.
Yeah. Also, can you go get my black t-shirt out of her place also, please?
Yeah. Tour dates coming up. Fontana, California at Stage Red on February 22nd. Atlanta Punchline, March 6th through the 8th. Hollywood Improv, St. Patrick's Day show, March 15th. I was just offered a very big money gig in Lake Tahoe that weekend with a swanky resort, lift tickets, and about five times the money that I would make at the Hollywood Improv. I turned it down.
What? All right, I'll take it.
That's how much this gig means to me. Well, also, we have a special. I don't know if I should announce this or not. I will announce it. Here's the special. Not only are we going to have, we always have big name guests. Zach Galifianakis has done it. Sarah Silverman. Joey Diaz has done it. Everybody. This year, we have a musical guest, which is going to be Mikey Fitz playing Irish songs with my two kids on stage.
No way.
They're going to play guitar, and JoJo's going to play guitar and the flute, and they're going to play some pogues. So I would suggest get there early. You don't want to miss the musical part of the show. It's going to sell out. Go to the website, get the tickets for the St. Patrick's Day show, March 15th.
Oh, man, that's
pretty
fantastic.
Cool, huh?
That's really cool. All right, before we start the lead story, I'm still cold.
Can I finish my plug dates? Hamilton, Ontario, Toronto, Canada, March 27th, Pittsburgh Improv, March 28th through the 30th, Boston, Laugh Boston, April 4th and 5th, Huntington at La Mamba, May 4th, Escondido, May 9th and 10th. Also, Tampa, Austin, La Jolla coming up soon at the Mothership and others.
Look at you.
Front page, we ready? You got paper. Something to crinkle?
Oh, I got DFW. I can't wait to crinkle it. Here we go. All right. This is your story, kid.
Vice President and recently converted Catholic J.D. Vance was rebuked by the Pope himself for using Catholic theology to justify mass deportations. Vance started the fire when he recently went on Fox News and presented his own bastardized version of Ordo Amoris, Latin for the Order of Love. Quote, there is a very Christian concept that you love your family, then you love your neighbor, then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizens in your own country. And then after that, you can focus and prioritize the rest of the world.
Interesting.
Are you shitting me?
Interesting.
Are you missing literally the number one teaching of Jesus Christ? Okay. All right. So,
well, I mean, define neighbor, love thy neighbor. Where, I mean, is it the neighbor way down at the end of the block?
Right. I think of my kids as my neighbors. That's it. You leave my house, you're out of my neighborhood.
I think of my other two personalities as my neighbors, and that's the why I only care about myself.
A lot of the far left has completely inverted that. They seem to hate their citizens of their own country and care more about people outside their own borders.
Oh.
The British Prime Minister should care about Brits, and the French should care about the French. Pope Francis sent a message on Tuesday to clear up Vance's comments.
No one should care about the French. Go ahead.
Quote, Christians know very well that it is only by affirming the infinite dignity of all that our own identity as persons and as communities reaches its maturity. Christian love is not a concentric expansion of interests that little by little extend to other persons and groups. This is amazing because you don't even speak English, and this is a good fucking sentence.
Yeah.
In other words, the human person is not a mere individual relatively expansive with some philanthropic feelings. The human person is a subject with dignity who, through the constitutive relationship with all, especially with the poorest, can gradually mature in this identity and vocation. The true ordo amoris that must be promoted is that which we discover by meditating constantly on the parable of the Good Samaritan.
All right.
Yeah. So,
well, I think Vance was confused. I think he meant the Latin phrase blanco amoris, which is the love of whites.
Ah, yes. Blanco amoris.
Yeah, that's what he meditates on constantly.
Yeah, and I think Vance has added something to the movement when Christians cross themselves. So now it goes forehead, heart, left shoulder, right shoulder, arm straight out. Slight variation.
Just for the corrections, don't bother sending it in. He meant forehead.
Oh, I know. I say forehead funny. And by the way, we all remember the story about Joseph and Mary being in a strange country and she's about to give birth. And then the people of Bethlehem screaming, not here. This is not a sanctuary manger.
Yeah. Get a to-go manger, will you?
And then President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, lashed out Tuesday at Pope Francis.
What? And Republicans hate the Pope.
Yeah. In an open letter to U.S. Catholic bishops sent Tuesday, Homan said, I've got harsh words for the Pope. I say this is a lifelong Catholic. He ought to focus on his work and leave enforcement to us. He's got a wall around the Vatican, doesn't he? Touché.
Oh, boy.
So not only should actors not weigh in on politics, but the Pope should stay in his own lane. Really? Let me tell you something. The Pope-mobile doesn't have a fucking lane. It's an all-terrain vehicle with a fast pass that can run $400 million worth of armored Teslas off the side of the road.
I mean, I hate you're making me defend the church, but it's like as if the church is only inside those walls. They are all over, for better or worse. They are all over the world under the guise, and they do help millions of people, obviously. But like, it's nothing but outreach. It's not. Sometimes the reaches are very unwelcome, but it's nothing but outreach. I mean, what is he talking about?
This really makes me think about making a movie. Maybe we can write a script about the Pope as an action hero going out, and the Pope-mobile is like a Mad Max kind of a vehicle.
Yeah.
And his cardinals are like the fucking, the Marvel characters. I think that might be funny.
Super Pope, Super Papa.
Yeah.
Something. And listen, the church never kicked out or got rid of any good-looking Latino altar boy.
It's true.
We know this.
No, the wall was to keep them in.
That's the difference. See? It's two sides.
What is this about cat getting fixed story?
I could save that for next time.
All right, save it for next time.
But a little
teaser. Let's do next time. Let's walk through some other maps of other airports in the country for 7-8 minutes at a time.
All right, as long as I can do DFW twice, those will be the first two. I did it once. Celebrities protest Kanye West in this fake AI video, which was so good looking and believable, like quality.
It was crazy how I believed it. I believed it until I heard it was AI. That's how good it is.
Top Hollywood stars have banded together to protest Kanye West's anti-Semitism, sort of, says the article. A viral video depicts Jewish celebrities such as David Schwimmer, Steven Spielberg, Jerry Seinfeld, Sandler, Scarlett Johansson, Sacha Baron Cohen, and others wearing anti-Kanye t-shirt. Except this protest video was generated using AI without permission from the celebrities to use their likenesses. And now one of the celebrities portrayed is speaking out about the stunt. So I don't know. Jewish people, they're not usually litigious. So I'm surprised there's anything happening.
No, I don't think there'll be a class action lawsuit here at all.
Yeah.
Maybe AI should put a bra on Kanye's wife.
No, please don't.
Let me tell you something. I thought of something funny that if I ever see her walking up a red carpet, I'm going to yell out, what's her name?
I forget.
I'm going to yell at Kanye's wife. Who are you not wearing?
That's good.
Yeah.
Who didn't wear it better? Yeah. By the way,
officially, I don't believe anything I see on the internet anymore. Like that video was so fucking real. Next, they're going to be able to put like each of the New York Jets in a championship hat. Not that far.
But speaking of that, this is Kanye's opportunity. Couldn't he be like, all right, listen, everybody, the last 2 years, that wasn't me that you saw. wasn't me.
Yeah.
Just trust me.
That was some geek in his parents' basement in Orange County. I have been out promoting diversity, inclusion.
I don't know if we'll get to it, but later we had this article about Kim Kardashian's new line of butt enhancing clothes and everything. But I just wanted, it's related to this story though. So he does that Super Bowl ad, right? And then the next day, and the whole Super Bowl ad was about go to Yeezy.com or whatever the hell his website is, right? Did you hear about or see when the next day when you went to, like, you know, the day of the Super Bowl, apparently he might have had other items on there, maybe sneakers, whatever.
No. There was one item.
That was the next day.
Yeah. Right.
A t-shirt with a swastika on it.
Yeah. And apparently the internet company that had it up, I'm forgetting the name of it, but they're like the biggest online merchant. They approved it on Friday. And then he switched it right before the Super Bowl ad went up, so they didn't notice. And then it took them a while to notice. He made $2 million.
What?
He sold 200,000 swastika shirts in a day.
So basically
paid for a lot of the Super Bowl commercial that he took out.
You know what would be funny is if someone smart along the way copywrote, like maybe a Jewish guy, copywrote the swastika logo. So you'd be in trouble now. That would be great.
Oh, that's good. It's trending. It's definitely trending.
So Kanye has to pay this guy, this one old guy with the copyright on the swastika logo.
He's got to be Jewish. Got to be a Jew.
That would be perfect. All right. Well, the Gulf of, oh my God, this Pete Scott told me this, our friend. And I'm like, you're obviously joking. He's like, dude, go on your phone right now and go on maps. Go ahead. Read the story.
So basically I think people know the story, but the Gulf of Mexico is now going to be called the Gulf of America.
It is.
Trump is switching it. It is now, if you go to Google Maps, it says Gulf of America. And then also Mount McKinley had been switched over to Denali as a sort of an homage
to the
native people that live there. And Trump is switching it back to McKinley.
Really?
And I guess he said drawing parallels to Trump, the order notes that McKinley championed tariffs and was assassinated. All's well that ends well.
I mean, what was Wichita? I mean, like, aren't there cities named after Native? I can't even begin. But in related news, Mexican standoff is now an American standoff.
Oh, really?
I looked these up. Yeah.
Oh.
It's now an American jumping bean. It's no longer a Mexican jumping bean.
It just doesn't jump as high?
No, not nearly. Taco Tuesday is now Hoagie Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
That happened.
Is that Tex-Mex, just in Philly or is that all around the country?
He's trying to push Hoagie on everybody, including where they eat grinders. Tex-Mex is now Tex-Tex. It's official. You can't put Tex-Mex on a menu. And it's more than Mexico, like a Colombian necktie, that expression. It's now an American necktie. But good news
now,
is...
Now, will Washington no longer be called the District of Columbia? Is it now District of America?
It should be the District of America, I think.
Yeah, right.
The Let's good get the news, kind of, is a Cleveland steamer is now a Mexican steamer.
Oh, nice! Yeah,
he gave that to them.
So you're going to need a lot more toilet paper to clean up a Mexican steamer.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We were taking Mexico's side here. What happened?
I mean, there was a lot of names like this. There was Londonderry. If you go to Northern Ireland, the Irish call it Derry, and the British call it Londonderry. Or if you go to Russia, you've got it was called St. Petersburg. Then it was called Leningrad. Now it's St. Petersburg again. Or you've got Cincinnati. Some people call it Cincinnati. Fort Lauderdale, Fort Lickerdale. You know, there's a lot of people that share names.
I mean, is he going to change New England to New America?
Right.
And New York? And you know what I never thought of, unrelated to Trump and all that, but the names from England, is it was wild that New York was in New London. You know what? But New London, I think, had already been taken in Connecticut.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, New London's in Connecticut, but I'm saying I think it had already maybe been used. But you would think, I mean, York is not the biggest city. So anyway, that was.
Do you ever see the internet thing?
New London.
It's like one of the first kind of like trolley internet things I saw was a guy going to like Ohio and a town that had a lot of Vietnamese in it and saying, we want you to sign this petition to change the city's name to. Little Saigon or something. Do you remember that?
No.
And the townspeople fucking screaming and threatening them. And but there are some names in the Midwest of, I want to say like Easter, whatever. I should have looked it up. All right, let's get to entertainment.
Here we go now.
Now, here's somebody who's marginally entertaining, but we put her in the entertainment section anyway. Comedian Ellen DeGeneres has reportedly landed herself in hot water. By the way, I get these news. You get this news item because it's in there's a text of former Ellen writers that's fairly active that keeps us abreast of all this news. So this one came out yesterday.
Yeah.
She's in hot water with her new British neighbors over construction plans on her $18 million farmhouse. Like, how about missing the point of moving to the fucking countryside in England,
you know? And laying low.
She is in peril on the wrong side of a high-profile member of her new neighborhood after she committed a technical breach during the build of a single-story extension at her new adobe. Three local councillors raised concerns that DeGeneres and DeRossi's extension might increase flood risk in the village and disturb Roman remains. Residents expressed concern that the hedge and wire fence at the comedian's home could lead to flooding if trash gets caught in the fence and limits the flow across the field. Now, here's what I love. They are busting her balls.
Yeah,
They're worried about rain flow. They fucking hate her. And look, let's move to a country where the paparazzis were invented. Nobody's good looking, and they're the most uptight ball busters in the world. Like, was Provincetown out of overpriced mansions? What the fuck did you go to the English countryside for?
It was their whole thing. Listen, they haven't been wet in years, Greg. So they want to clog up this fence.
So
they
you're
want to
saying
clog up
their
this
vaginas
fence.
Might be a... L-
All right, so hold on. I just love that you called England the birthplace of the paparazzi.
Oh, that's a good point.
Listen to the name. You know, in Londonderry, the paparazzi.
All right. Well, I should say not tabloids. Tabloid journalism was
absolutely
created,
yes,
in England. Well, probably, to be honest, Rupert Murdoch might have started it in Australia and then brought it to England after that. I'm not sure. Maybe
paparazzi have always been pretty bad there.
Well, yeah, they killed the poor lady Di.
Yeah, but that was in Paris. But you're right. All right, Schwarzenegger, kid.
Arnold teased his son Patrick Schwarzenegger's nude scene in season 3 premiere of The White Lotus after attending the star-studded premiere. What a show, the Terminator wrote on Instagram alongside a photo of his son. I could claim to be surprised to find out he has nude scene, but what can I say? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Wouldn't the analogy be a banana? Is it an apple? Wouldn't it be two apples and a banana falling far from the tree?
That's a wild tree.
And yeah. After 5 decades on steroids, isn't it more like a shriveled up apple?
He then clarified, well, the apple that I had with my nanny, that apple did fall far from the tree. And I denied I was the tree and he was my apple. But other than that, the apples don't usually stray.
Yeah, he was a sour apple.
I had a bad apple.
Spoiled this is
the bunch.
Do you know that kid Patrick was hitting on my daughter at a party one night?
Really?
We went to this Best Buddies event.
Facilitate
up
that.
We were up in a Best Buddies event up in Santa Barbara, and there was a big party. Oh, no, it was at the Hearst Castle, so up the coast further.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big party, and I guess, you know, Maria Shriver, who's, you know, very involved with Best Buddies, I guess that's her son. And so he was there, and he'd had 2, 3, 6, 7 cocktails, and JoJo was maybe 16, and he was hitting on her pretty hard.
Wow, all right.
And she was flirting back, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, with a billionaire's son who's a model.
Yeah, who's pretty good looking.
Yeah. And doesn't fall far from the tree. All right, we did Kardashian. I know, the worst Arnold ever. All right, we're going to make America, Florida.
What about Dolly Parton?
Oh, yeah, do Dolly Parton. Sorry.
That's yours.
Dolly Parton musical suspended mid-show after homophobic abuse from audience. One of the performers in the musical, Here You Come Again, Stevie Webb, said that the homophobic incidents at the show have become so bad, the cast was at one point forced to leave the stage. Webb said that last Wednesday, the whole cast had to leave because a woman was so disgusted there was a gay character. This was followed by a similar moment when a man had to be escorted from the audience for shouting homophobic comments. Webb said there had also been problems during the London run of the production. Okay, what? All right. Not only are you going to a Broadway show, a play, but it's about Dolly Parton. Like, it's doubly gay. It's the gayest. How
do you want to read? Do you want to read my joke just beneath? Read it out loud. Read what I wrote.
So people are going to theater, the gayest thing in the world, to see a Dolly Parton production, the biggest gay icon in the world, and then shocked there's a gay character.
Should one of us just do the podcast alone, since we both have the same thoughts?
Greg, what they should be walking out on is when there's a straight character.
First of all, I didn't know Denman was in London last month.
Now that's a better joke.
I thought he was in St. Louis.
But it is. It's the gayest thing ever. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's like going to... I was going to make a racist joke, but I'm not going to.
Also in London. Now it's triply gay.
It got a lot gayer about 6 months ago when somebody put up a fence. Do you want to do this Kim Kardashian story or no?
No, I don't think. I mean,
all right, let's go to Florida.
Yeah. She has big ass. We'll do them next week.
We'll do it next week.
Teases.
And you know what? Let's go through the Cincinnati airport next week also.
Cincinnati airport. I got a cat fixed down here. Uh-huh. Everything's great. All right. We're going to make America Florida. Here we go. A stalker made their way into a Fort Lauderdale house on Monday that was occupied by Sophie Rain and her OnlyFans gang. Rain and her colleagues currently reside at the Bop House, a Miami mansion that hosts all the young models. They were in Fort Lauderdale at a recently rented house to film content when SWAT agents showed up to arrest the stalker. According to TMZ, a source close to the 20-year-old said the unnamed suspect broke into the home while the crew was attending Sunday's Super Bowl. They came back to see windows smash, but worst off, when they arrived, the man was still inside. He tried convincing Sophie he was the new owner of the place, but he didn't convince the girls, who quickly fled the home. And then SWAT agents, along with the Coast Guard, attempted to talk the guy out of the house for hours before eventually storming in and arresting him before any serious conflict occurred. Wow. Well the saddest part of this, huh?
Go ahead.
Saddest part of this story is that was the only talented person that had ever been in that house. And yeah, he was forcibly removed.
Right. He's the only guy that's ever worked for a living.
Yeah.
And first of all, I love the resources that we're pouring into this. We've got fucking homeless veterans on the street that can't get a hot meal. And we've got the Coast Guard protecting a bunch of fucking internet twats. Like, what? The Coast Guard? Are you shitting me? Like, of course. I want to see. Here's what I want to see. If you want to live stream this shit, you're attracting guys. You've got a bunch of young models that are counting how many times Taylor Swift shows up on the Super Bowl. I want to see people storm the house. I want to see people that are outraged destroying these young girls. I shouldn't say destroying them, but scaring them.
You know, maybe it was a typo. Maybe it's the Coast Guard and a twat team with twat agents that stormed the house. Not SWAT. I think that's what it is. By the way, have you Googled Sophie Rain?
Wait, I just want to say SWAT doesn't sound that effective. Like, you SWAT at a fly with like a limp plasticky thing.
How about a kill squad?
Yeah.
Something like that. While I read the next Make Tennessee Florida, you should Google Sophie Rain. All right, let's make Tennessee Florida. All right, man accused of photographing men inside bathrooms across Nashville. Wait a minute. Are they talking? I hope he didn't take a photo of me trying to dry my crotch. A 37-year-old man was arrested Thursday after he was accused of stalking multiple men across Nashville. Okay. See if you notice a trend here, that if you were a detective, you'd catch on to what's going on. The first victim reported to officers he began receiving sexual text messages from various unknown phone numbers. He also received messages with photos of him in a state of undress inside a bathroom stall at his workplace on Athens Way in Metro Center. A second victim, he contacted police, same thing, texting from different numbers. He knew where he worked and what he drove and what he wore to work. And the victim also received text messages of him in a bathroom at his work on Athens Way in Metro Center. Then another man reported to Metro Police he was being harassed and stalked via text messages. You see where this is going. And the guy was compromised in a bathroom in the Athens Way building in the Metro Center. So, I mean, this seems like the easiest thing to solve in the world. So officers contacted security, obtained surveillance footage that helped them identify the suspect, who was seen loitering outside the bathroom facilities and following the men inside. So he's arrested and released on bond. He's out. So
now, did they bring the SWAT teams in for that one?
SWAT's appropriate there. You just want to SWAT back the nudity, will you?
So I just looked up Sophie Rain. Big ass.
Yeah, well, that's her moneymaker, man. But anyway, that's so maybe there is talent in that household. Anyway, I wonder if there's, how much do they guess she makes a year with her OnlyFans? I've never heard of her before now, but I looked her up for this story because I didn't know what it was. I didn't know kind of what talent was in this house.
Sophie Rain net worth. She is worth $43 million. Yeah.
Oh, if she puts a couple of good years together, it's kind of like a Patreon for a podcast. Like, in other words, it adds up.
Jesus Christ. That's, and she's 20 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
Younger than both of our daughters.
Born in 2004.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Sports. Let's do it.
Sports. All right. So let's break down our Super Bowl bets. We had $50 on the game. You had the Eagles to win, so you were up 50. But then we bet the under-over. I took the over, which hit, so I won $20. You're down to 30. And then we bet $10 on whether or not the national anthem would be over 120 seconds. You won that, so now you're up $30. Will Taylor Swift be shown during
40.
The national
I'm up
anthem?
40. I'm up 40 now.
40. Yeah, you're up 40. Will Taylor Swift be shown during the national anthem? You said yes, so now you're up 50. Number of the first touchdown scorer, will it be under 15 on his jersey? You said yes, it was.
Yep, it was number one.
Distance of Mahomes.
So
first
I'm up
TD
60.
Pass. No, I don't think so.
What do you mean?
Wait, $50 because you won. Now you're down to 30.
Like, this is great. By the way, all conversations, we should have an audience so I can just be like, you're hearing this, right?
All right, so $30. So I'm down to $30 after the under over.
Yes.
And then the national anthem, you won 10.
So
that's
it's 40.
Taylor Swift, Joan during the national anthem.
50.
You said yes. No, you said yes. She was not.
You have M next to it.
Yeah, because you guessed, will she be shown during the national anthem? So you
lost 10 on that. God, I don't even know how to read this stuff. Okay.
So that brings you down to 30. Then you won 10, so you're back up to 40 on the jersey. Distance of Mahomes' first touchdown pass, I won that. So now you're down to 20. Saquon Barkley run for 150. I said no, so I won 10 on that. And then I won the color of liquid poured on the coach would be yellow. So I owe you $20.
I don't even think that math's right, but I'll take it. Fine.
$20.
All right.
I tried to pay you that night, but you said you were too drunk to count. You're not even drunk right now.
Fine. You Venmo me $20.
Okay.
Love it.
By the way, speaking of sports, my cousin, Danny McCarthy, is in first place right now at the Genesis, which is a major golf tournament. It's usually held in Los Angeles, but because of the fires, it's down in San Diego. He had an eagle on the 18th hole yesterday, so he's got a one-shot lead going into Friday as we speak. We'll see on Sunday. Obviously, you'll know by the time you listen to this whether he won the tournament, but he's off to a good start.
This day in history. Here we go.
This day in history.
Ready? You like them rapid fire? Here comes semi-rapid fire. Fidel Castro seized power in Cuba on this day in what year? And it's technically he became the premier of Cuba on this day, and he transformed the island country into the Western Hemisphere's first communist state. Give or take 5 years. What year did Fidel do this?
The revolution was going on in the 50s. Batista was in there. Castro took over late 50s. I'm going to say 58.
Dude, 59.
Nice. I just read a book about it called Telex from Cuba by Rachel Kushner.
Wow. That's even more impressive. Kim Jong-il, the lunatic, right? The lunatic.
This is his father.
Well, no, Kim Jong-il He was the North Korean political leader. And he had like the crazy, like two hole in one or 18.
Yeah. He's the current leader's father.
Yes. There you right. go. He died. On what year on this? Well, actually, no, sorry. This is about his birth, but I'm going to ask you his death day, which was December 17th of what year, give or take 3 years.
Oh, Jesus. I'm assuming this is when Kim Jong-un must have taken power, which would have been, how many years are you giving me?
Three. I'm giving you a seven-year
window.
Come on.
I'm throwing darts on this one. I will say he took over in 2000.
No, this is how you could have done it. We were all doing tons of jokes about him. So he was that's why I only gave you 3 years. I thought you'd be like, it's going to be around 2010. It was 2011.
Yeah.
But remember late night, just couldn't get enough of that guy and all the things he claimed, like all the craziness.
Yeah.
Okay. What is my next one? Okay. The NHL became the first North American professional sports league to cancel an entire season. The season was canceled after the collective bargaining agreement between the owners and the players' union ran out. This happened in what year, give or take 4 years?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You follow hockey.
I do, but
the entire season was gone.
All right, I'm going to say 1994.
2005. Okay. American tennis legend John McEnroe was born on this day in what year? It's a two-part question. I'm then going to ask you, what country was he born in? And I'm going to give you five guesses. And I'll give you a big clue. It's not a trick question. It's not America. So,
okay,
give or take 3 years, what year was John McEnroe born? And then give or take, or giving you five countries, what country was he born in?
He was born in 1956.
You won that barely. 1959. You got it on the three-year cusp.
And he was born in Argentina.
Nope. Four more guesses.
Guatemala.
What? These are weirdest guesses ever. No.
England.
No.
Canada.
No.
Ireland.
No. Ireland would have been, you know his dad. You've seen his dad courtside.
No.
England's another good one, but it was West Germany.
Interesting. Why was his dad in the military?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I know his dad, I think, is a banker. All right, last one. DuPont chemist Wallace Hume Carruthers, WHC, he patented nylon.
Oh.
Nylon never existed before this date. In what year, give or take 10 years?
Well, when I think about the flappers in the 1920s, they had on nylons. Then I go back to the Moulin Rouge in Paris. They had on nylons. That was earlier than that. So I'm going to say 1820.
So close. 1937.
Oh, so the flappers didn't have them. What the fuck were they wearing?
Tights, or not? Maybe not even tights, but they. Stockings, and they weren't. I'm forgetting the name of what I want to say. Like, in other words, there were garments like that, but it didn't have. I think nylon had the stretch.
All right. Well, I think they were invented as of 3 o'clock yesterday because I saw some TikTok videos of a woman taking her nylons off. So.
Yeah, you just went and saw Sophie What's Her Face in her house.
Yeah.
But I do remember, and this might be unrelated, but I do remember when that thing happened, it changed everything because you no longer needed garter belts.
Right.
Back what you're talking about, they needed garter belts to hold them up.
Right.
Because they were just pantyhose, I guess. I don't know what you call it. We're worse talking about this than we are sports. Let's move on. What do we got?
Let's go to the obituaries.
I don't got one.
No obituary. Oh, you know who died?
My Valentine's Day plans died.
What do you mean?
No. I wasn't supposed to be down here. I have to hurry and make good on it.
Oh, okay. There was a death. Hold on. No, I guess not. I don't see anybody that interesting.
Nothing. I'm sure we lost
somebody's
someone,
mother but... died. Somebody. Oh, Tom Robbins died. One of my favorite authors.
Oh, really?
Oh my God. Oh, Only Cowgirls Get the Blues. Yeah. Jitterbug Perfume. He was he wrote such dense prose. It was so rich. He packed words onto a page and just had a great sense of humor. Fucking great character. Like, if you liked Confederacy of Dunces, like, he wasn't at that level of funny, but the richness. Amazing author. So that's all we'll say. Read some Tom Robbins if you get a chance. Don't read Tim Robbins. That's an actor. Read Tom Robbins.
Isn't Tom Robbins, is he the Florida guy? No. That's the other guy. No, that's
Carl Hiaasen.
Exactly. All right. So now we go to the funnies.
Okay. We're going to this was a tough one. We give you guys different captions every week. Some of them lend themselves to comedy more than others. I think this last one was tough, but some people came through. It is, you're in a prison yard. There's two guys in black and white prison garbs, striped prison garbs. One's handing cigarettes to the other one and saying something. In the background is the Where's Waldo character, and his mouth is shaped in a very small O, as if he's concerned. And Bruce Wise said, yeah, some call him Wald Ho. I call him my cock in his mouth.
That must have taken a while to get that wordplay.
Don't turn around. He stabbed the head of the Aryan Brotherhood yesterday for pointing at him, from Rich Butchko.
Oh, don't.
Here's a good one.
Wait, I really like that one.
That's pretty good.
Waldo's a lunatic. Wait, what's the one above where you have Dan written?
Here, have a smoke. I don't know.
It just ignores. It just fully ignores that Waldo's there.
Yeah. Here's one that I love. Jason Bastian. Who's Waldo? Sean Johnson said, with those soft and supple lips of his, Where's Waldo became the most popular game in the clink.
That's pretty good, too.
Bobby Hussein said, I found Waldo. Now I'm going to find his G-spot. Stovetop said he's got a tiny mouth. That's why it's five cigarettes.
Pretty good.
Sam Prano says, now that's why he's caught. Now that he's caught, the cops won't be asking where's Waldo anymore, but they will be asking where he hid all those toddler corpses.
It gets more interesting.
Matt Messer says, you win, Phil. The carpet doesn't match the drapes.
Okay.
Kelly Holmes says, I'm going to play Where's Waldo's Wiener later.
All right. That's a nice way of saying it.
Jack from San Francisco said, usually you can find him in the shower with a dick in his ass.
Not as nice a way of saying it, but that's pretty funny.
Pariah said, how many cigarettes to find Waldo's asshole?
Well, that's okay. All right.
All right. They go on and on. We get a lot of those. So what do you like? I know what I like.
I mean, I just like the image of him and that he stared, that he stabbed the Aryan brother, the head of the Aryan Brotherhood. That one made me, because there's a lot of playing on wares, and there's obviously cigarettes for purchasing someone. But I don't know, that one I liked. It was very different.
I just love the economy of Who's Waldo. because it kind of sums it up. Like, most people don't remember Where's Waldo. So I thought that was strong. So it's between those two.
Well, I thought you were going to pick another one. Who's Waldo's okay? I also like He's Got a Tiny Mouth. That's why it's five cigarettes.
Yeah, I like that one a lot too. I could go with that one.
That's going to be our tiebreaker?
Yeah, that'll be the tiebreaker. Sorry,
it's on my, it's on my favorite one. I want that for the record, but okay.
All right, so...
you have to send me your address. I don't know how this works.
Stovetop is the winner. He's Got a Tiny Mouth. That's why it's five cigarettes. Okay. All right. Next week's caption is, it looks like a circus tent.
Yes.
And the MC who's got on like a sergeant's outfit, the typical kind of pencil-y mustache, and he's pointing up to the tightrope. And there's a tightrope walker who's got the bar in his hands, balancing himself as he walks across the tightrope. It says Circus of the Stars. And what is the announcer saying about the man up on the tightrope holding the balancing bar?
That's a tough one.
This comic comes from Jason Love, who's given us a lot of these. Thank you, Jason. We're giving you some love.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Waldo something, or as I call him, my cock in his mouth. That could be it.
Let's. Here's Hagger. This one isn't about what it's usually about, but I just thought this was a funny Hagger. Hagger is shaking hands with a guy who's got a briefcase. He's wearing a suit. And Hagger goes, "Hey, it's my favorite bank manager. How's business?" And the bank manager goes, "We're looking for a cashier." And Hagger goes, "I thought you hired a friend of mine last week." And the bank manager goes, "He's the one we're looking for." Hagger goes, "Sorry."
Nice.
And then the next one, Lucky and Hagger are walking out of a bar. There's a damsel at the bar. She's got her back to you, but you still see good side boobs, solid side boobs. She kind of has like a hippie wraparound on her head. And Hagger says, oh, wait, it's written over. Can you see what he's saying?
What, in the right?
The left frame.
Oh, left frame. You were talking to that woman all night. What did you learn about her?
And then Lucky says, she's the smart one. And all right, so what did she do that was smart? Did she tell you she had AIDS? Did she say that she has a jealous gang of brothers who are waiting outside? What did she say to keep you from, I won't say the word because I don't want to get us kicked off the algorithm.
I think it's just, I mean, what really happened, I think the artist's intention is that she said, hit the road.
Do they say hit the road in medieval times?
I think it's a road. It's not a, maybe get lost. Vikings used to get lost a lot, I think.
They did get lost a lot, but I don't think when they were around women, I think they found right what they were looking for.
I don't think they ever took a long walk off a short pier, though, because they were so good with piers, you know?
That's true. Yep.
Yeah.
And then we've got Leroy sitting on the couch reading the newspaper. In the background, there's snow falling out the window. Loretta holds a shovel in her hand. She goes, "What do you mean you're not going to shovel because you're taking a snow day?"
Interesting. Leroy.
Slim pickings this week on the Lockhorns.
All right, Leroy. Well, probably not on Dilbert. I'm excited. This is number 14 out of 15. We're counting up to 15. And let's see what we have in store. So this might be the second best or funniest, I think it's called, Dilbert of all time, according to this website. Or it's 14 out of 15 with one being the funniest. It's so hard to tell. Here we go. Three frames. First frame. Oh, and someone called in and said, I should give props to the smack my bitch up guy I keep referencing with the two cones of hair on his head. I'll do that next week on the last one because I don't know that guy's name. So the smack my bitch up hairdo guy walks up to Dilbert. Dilbert's just sitting there and he has a cup of coffee. I can't see what his hands are doing. Is he reading a little piece of paper? Anyway.
I think he's on his phone.
Oh, he's on his phone. Okay. And the smack my bitch hair guy goes, I need you to write your own performance review for my signature. And Dilbert goes, I'll sign it for you too. I see no reason for you to be involved. smack your bitch up, smack my bitch up guy starts walking away and he goes, put something in there about insubordination. And Dilbert, with the punchline, brings it home and he says, got it.
Mm.
Right?
That's how, when you want a hard turn like that at the end.
How completely unsatisfying.
Mm.
Just true, pure unsatisfaction. Dissatisfaction, even. It's just a... the thing is, this is the trick with it. You don't realize you'll never get that time back till the very last two words, because you still have hope that this has been worth it. It's kind of like you're cutting your way through a forest and you're like, I hope we're on the right path here and this hasn't all been a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like you're bushwhacking and then you get to a wall and you can't go any further. That's what this was.
I'm not even sure what he's going for here, because smack him up bitch guy is basically saying, I'm lazy and not doing my job well, so why don't you write up your own performance review? And then Dilbert says, all right, if you want to be lazy, I can just sign it for you anyway. And then the guy is saying, you're insubordinate. But isn't he insubordinate?
Yes, they're all insubordinate. And I think that might be a commentary on the modern workplace.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's about a bunch of characters who don't care, but somehow we're supposed to?
That's a good point. Is there one hero in here that cares that we could root for? I haven't seen one.
If we want to talk about a hero, he's sitting on a couch with his big stupid shoes and his black vest. Why would fucking Dagwood wear black velvet pants all the time? That's what I can't understand. It goes so against... And he like, that shows a little bit of style. I mean, Dagwood seems like the kind of guy that should be wearing a mismatched sweatsuit, you know? Anyway, he's sitting on the
chair. What do you call it? Velvet? Velvet? Velour? What do you call it?
They look velvet? They look velvet.
Yeah, well, all the clothing I'm learning about you. In Blondie looks velvet.
Mm.
That's interesting. Okay.
Well, sexy. Not his daughter. His daughter is standing in the living room. And look, I don't ever want to seem blasphemous about Blondie, but her daughter is a smoke show. She's standing in jeans. The knees are worn out, which
I can only guess from what.
And she says, Mom, have you ever considered posting cooking videos on YouTube? And Blondie, over her shoulder, says, not really, sweetie. And then the daughter goes, I think you'd be a hit, and you could throw Dad in there for goofy comic relief. And then in the last frame, the daughter's talking to the son and says, sometimes parents just don't see the big picture, do they? And I just love that the daughter, that's how she sees her father. He's not a role model. He's not an authority figure. He's not aspirational. Her father is a goofy comic relief. And she's telling her mother how she should be, you know, taking her career to the next level.
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
he is. He's a joke.
He's a joke. He's never taught these kids anything. The son is... But first of all, both kids are still living at home. They got to be in their 50s at this point.
That's a good point.
But they don't age.
Maybe 40s. I mean, look at her. Look at her.
I mean, look at her. She's got a...
Look at her.
Jesus.
I don't have to tell you to look at her.
No, I'm looking at her. I'm looking. All right, listen, my wife is landing, so I'm going to go. Here's the move. It's Valentine's Day. My wife lands at the Vegas airport on a Friday at 3 o'clock. Imagine the traffic. I'm thinking I get in an Uber and I go pick her up at the airport so she doesn't have to deal with the Uber line. What do you think of that move?
So you're going to sit there in an Uber, like you're going to be like, You're in on this with me, buddy. Like, we're gonna pull up, so it's kind of like two stops. Your final destination is your pickup point.
Exactly.
And you're making a stop.
Right.
Well, you can't have the final destination be a pickup point. No, I don't know how you do this.
Yeah, I just feel bad that she's gonna walk into a hellstorm of traffic at the airport when she gets here.
Ask Brad Garrett. to have a limo pick you guys up at the airport.
Ooh, there you go.
And you Uber over there, and then it's, or you could obviously ride with the limo.
I like that. That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right. If you get this, I'll be at Brad Garrett's tonight. If you get this on Sunday, the 16th of February. Otherwise, we'll see you coming up soon at some other dates.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.